unto us child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Yes, Lord.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor.
Yes, Lord.
Mighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it. Don't forget the baby. Don't forget the baby. Look at somebody and say, don't forget the baby. Christmas. It's a holiday where we all have a million memories of what that day looks like and sounds like and smells like and everything else. In my house, one of my distinct memories is when my great-grandmother would come over from the nursing home and we would have to get these ramp slats out because the house is not wheelchair friendly. We had to pull my great grandmother into the house, figure out a way to maneuver her around the front door and inside. Christmas ended up being a time for gumbo because she wanted it. So she made my grandmother make it. And then my mother had to learn how to make it because my grandmother was sick and tired of doing it. And then one day, I had to learn. The reason I had to learn was because as I was growing and eating everybody out of house and home, my mother said, you need to learn how to cook, number one. But number two, you just need to figure this thing out.
Amen.
So I learned over time. And now, on tomorrow evening, while some of y'all are going to be asleep, I'm going to be prepping at 2 p.m. on Christmas morning. House going to be smelling like Louisiana.
Yeah.
All night long.
Amen.
All during the day.
That's right.
And as much as I'm going to enjoy all that, I think sometimes we don't take enough time to figure out as to why we even have Christmas to begin with. Now, before folks start shouting and through their shout, indict themselves. I love y'all. We tell the truth in here, right? It seems to me that every time we come to Christmas, and it's just general thinking, y'all. Y'all pray for me. I'm still yet being delivered from my thinking. But I think that sometimes out of 365 days of the year, we choose the one day to celebrate the birth of the one that saved us and make it about ourselves. I'm not indicting I'm making a general statement. It may not be you, so just take this message today as a reminder, take it to somebody else and remind them. But I think sometimes after all this stuff, get to the holiday The first thing we say after everybody eat and messed up all dishes, made a whole bunch of trash, ripped up all that doggone wrapping paper. That's why I use gift bags. You'd have done all that stuff. Got 18 bags worth of trash. You still got dishes to wash. You done watched all the football and all the Christmas movies you gonna watch. You done ate all the cookies you gonna eat. You done ate all that stuff, drank everything you wanted to drink. And the first thing we say at the end of the day, dang, I'm tired. And in the whole grand scheme of things, I wonder if we even thought about the one that came. See, Christmas and Easter are Super Bowl times of Christian church. And why do I say it like that? Because they are the highest of days for us. But somewhere along the line, we forget the main reason for each. We would not have a Christmas or a Christ among the masses without Christ.
Yes. Yes.
We would not have a death and resurrection without a Christ being born to the masses.
Amen.
I'm going somewhere. We would not be here right now without a Christ who was willing to come into an earth that was messed up by creation. To live among the creation, to experience the feelings of its creation,
yes, yes,
and yet choose to die later.
All right.
Do you?
Come on, Pastor.
I say y'all made this easy. I might be done in 5 minutes. Look, I want to make sure I'm in the right place because I want you to understand that the Christ that came. Yeah. Came to do something that none of us could do. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how strong people try to appear. You can't tell me, as hard as you might be, that you would be willing, you would make a conscious decision to go through what Christ went through, not just at Calvary, but his entire life.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Can I just put it out here for you?
Yes.
He was born in the most unsanitary conditions because nobody would let his parents get a room at a hotel.
Yes, yes.
We ain't got no more rooms. But if you just got to stay somewhere, go on the backside out there with the animals and we ain't gonna charge you. He came and was born in unsanitary conditions and died by horrible means in a world that is constantly going through changes. So when I read Isaiah 9, because we shout off of 6, you know, when we shout. I mean, I don't care what church you go to. I don't care if you go to the Frozen Chosen. Even the Frozen warm up to this. They warm up to it. That's right. They warm up to this. Because all you got to do is read it. If I had James Earl Jones' voice, some of y'all would already fell out and I wouldn't be able to preach. Because this scripture, when you listen to it, think about it. For unto us. Now, before I go any further, the reason it's so powerful is because everything Isaiah is writing here and talking about is in a vision of what not only Israel would be, but what was yet to come. All right. When he began talking in the previous chapter, he was talking in a way that life was going to continue for Israel. And at some point, they were going to reach a moment of darkness. and that the season would come where they would not be in a decent amount of prosperity. They would be dealing with all kinds of trouble, trauma, and everything else. But chapter 9 comes as bringing about some hope. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. There was a time, according to the vision, that there would be pain, there would be suffering, there would be all kinds of things that the people would go through. What do we know about Israel? They went through every kind of possible thing you could go through. Yes. They've been in exile. Yes. They've been through all kinds of trouble and trauma left and right. They dealt with bad leadership. They dealt with kings that loved God, hated God, and all that kind of stuff. They dealt with leaders that did not care about the things of God and only wanted the things of themselves. Sound familiar? We are not going through a cycle that is uncommon to the human condition. That even right now, as we're dealing with a person that has the competency level of a gnat. That God still says to us, there is hope. When I come to this time and season, I don't care too much about the trouble I've been through. Because something about knowing that Jesus is on the way. Come on. I'm not going to take too long, I promise. Something about knowing that Jesus is on the way changes the way that I function. I could be going through all kinds of hell and high water, but something about knowing that Christ is coming changes my disposition. I know that he couldn't save me as a baby per se, but the fact that he showed up lets me know that salvation is on the way. Come on in here. When Jesus shows up for you, even though it may not be manifesting everything you've been promised, the fact that he shows up should let you know that you ought to have some hope. The fact that God shows up when I'm going through my hardest moments, when I'm going through my trying moments, when I'm going through tribulation, when I'm in my tears, nothing has changed, nothing has shifted. I'm making the same money. I'm dealing with the same crazy people on my job. I got the same folk in my family that have lost their mind. I'm dealing with the same stuff. But when the Lord shows up, and even when things haven't changed, something on the inside of me begins to change. Yes. So when I get to that verse part, for unto us child is born, unto us a son is given. And watch this, and the government. Shall be upon his shoulders. That means I ain't even got to worry about who, because I got the one. Y'all missed it. I ain't got to worry about who is trying to do whatever, because I have been given the one.
Yes. Yes.
And the government will be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called. So here, let me be a nerd for a second. Some translations break wonderful and counselor. And people debate, is it just he's called wonderful and then he's called counselor? Or is it both? Well, can I go ahead and exegete both ways for a second? If one translation says wonderful, comma, counselor, think about it this way. He's being called wonderful because that's who he is.
Hallelujah.
He's being called counselor because he's the one that is my advocate on behalf of me in the midst of my trouble. Because counselor is not what you think it is, but counselor is more prone to being a lawyer. Come on in here. So I got somebody that's wonderful and will litigate on my behalf my deliverance. But if you don't put the comma there, he's a wonderful lawyer, which means that he was able to get me off when I should have been. Some of y'all know. Some of the stuff that we've done, some of the places we've been, some of the things we've done in our lives, we shouldn't be here right now. But the Lord came on our behalf and said, I'm going to do what I need to do to reconcile you back to myself. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince. Why would I have convenient amnesia about somebody like that? In this season, I just want to advocate that you don't forget the one that's in the manger, the one that we celebrate. I don't want you and I to get so preoccupied with the gifts that we give and receive that you forget about the one that gave us the greatest gift of all. And there are three reasons why I don't want you to forget who he is. And I'm done. One, because you got to remember that Christ is the source of power. I know there are a lot of things that have happened this week that have affected our government. There are a lot of things that have happened this week that are affecting people's paychecks right now. There are people that are scrambling. But guess what? If you think about it, we've been here before. Talk to me. I know people got issues with the current president. I do too. But even under a president that a lot of us liked, there was a shutdown. So it doesn't make a difference when it shuts down. It affects folk either way. And stuff has to be done. So there are people that are going through right now wondering if they're going to make that credit card payment on the gifts that they purchased with that credit card. Come on, talk to me. They are worried about it and they're saying to themselves, how could they do this to me? But if you know who the baby is, you'll know that there's something about the Lord that has power to it. That even if you're going through, God's got all power. That even if you feel like you're about to fall off the cliff, God's got so much power that he won't even allow certain things to affect your life. And even if they come to affect your life, God will show up, show out, and make sure that nothing does anything to you. God's not that kind of power. I don't worry about who is in government office, because one way or another, God will continue to show who he is. I don't worry about anybody having a temper tantrum over social media, because I know that God has all power. I don't worry about if I lose this or lose that, because I serve a God that has all power. I don't worry about what folk try to do to me. I don't worry about what folk may try to do to anybody else, because I serve a God that has all power. For unto us child is born, and that child possesses power. But what else? The child possesses protection. Look at the names. Wonderful Counselor. An advocate. We have a Christ that's our advocate. One of the hardest things that people live with is having no advocate. That's right. That's having nobody to speak for them. That's right. You want somebody sometime to speak for you, because you get tired of talking for yourself. I know I do. I don't feel like I should have to defend everything that I do. You know, I'm a human being. After a while, I get tired of talking. Okay, let me say it a different way. I'm up here every Sunday. I'm going to give it all that I got, because God has given me what he's given me. But there comes a moment. There's a quiet moment that happens. It's a blissful moment. And I love y'all. God knows I do. I really do. But you know when that blissful moment happens? When everybody leaves. And I sit in that office. And nobody's talking. I don't hear nothing. Yes, Lord. I don't hear in my head that you got to be this or you got to be that. I don't want to talk all the time. Nobody. I don't know. Even people that are talkative shouldn't want to talk all the time. You need to give your voice some rest sometime. Nobody should want to advocate for themselves all the time. You want something to prove that, yes, this is who I am, what I am, and what I'm about. You should be able to say at some point, I could walk into a room and everybody should already know this is what I'm about. But if I got to tell it all the time, people think I'm fooling myself. Sometimes you want somebody else to tell the story. That's how businesses grow, by what? Word of mouth. You got somebody advocating on your behalf saying they do good business. They do this. They do that. We need an advocate in a world that will constantly try to tell you that you're less than. Can I preach it like I want to? When I'm talking about everybody in here that's got melanin count, we live in a world that will not advocate for us. And we've been looking historically, looking for folk to advocate for us, and you can't find them half the time. Because if they try to advocate for you, they're worried about how it's going to affect them. So we got to have somebody do it for us. And since the Lord ain't coming back until he's ready, I still need somebody to advocate on my behalf. But how will God advocate on my behalf when I can't see him? How is he doing this? Because there's something called the Holy Ghost. There's something called the Lord living on the inside of you. That even when you go into a room, have you ever been in a room and the Spirit of the living God is working on your life, and you walk into a room and all of a sudden the atmosphere changes? It's not because you're the smartest in the room. It's not because you're the most educated in the room. It's not because you have all the giftings, and you just might. But something on the inside of you begins to come out, and it speaks on your behalf before you ever open your mouth. That's God working on your behalf. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought and you knew that you were about to lose your job? You knew that you were about to lose everything. You knew that this situation was not going to work in your favor, and then all of a sudden you walk in the room knowing that it's not going to work in your favor, already doubting that everything's going to be messed up, but somehow you ended up getting the job, you got a promotion, you got this, you got that, you all of a sudden had things open up for you. God is already stepping on your behalf. Yes. Protecting you from things seen and unseen. That's in the baby. Last thing, I'm finished. I said I wasn't going to be long. Last thing is power, protection, but there's provision. Power, protection, but the last thing is provision. Watch this. Now read this differently. Of the increase of his government, which means Christ in control, the increase of his government, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold. Listen. David became king after Saul. So, right? Saul took Israel only so far. He lost his mind. God said, okay, let me pick his replacement. He picks David, right? David, it was under David's rule that he not only pulled everything together, but established the capital, established the way that they would live, function, this, that, and the other. David prepared to build the temple. Watch how all this ties together. He was trying to build the temple, but why did he not get to build the temple? Because his hands were bloody, according to God, right? But wait for it. That did not mean that what he saved for it wasn't going to be used. Y'all with me? God still said, I'm establishing everything through your line, David. So here comes Solomon. David, you ain't building a temple, but whoever else come after you, they can. Watch it. And provision was already made. And under Solomon's rule, the kingdom expanded. it made more money, had more resources than the two previous kings. Their treaties with nations around them were such that they were able to continue to funnel in resources under his rule. Now that's practical. Okay? So what does that have to do with Jesus? Jesus started with 12. And he didn't even have physically what his ancestors had. Even though technically he was heir to the physical throne. I'm going somewhere. The government shall be upon his shoulder. So the real government that we see was not of this world. But it was of heavenly places. Because Jesus was able to do so much in the midst of an empire that did not support him. Of an empire that ended up killing him as a political prisoner. But somehow, the message of the kingdom spread. And it went from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to what? The ends of the earth. How do I know it went to the ends of the earth? Because we here right now. Look at how that thing spread. It spread to throughout the Roman Empire. It spread to the Greeks. It spread to the Romans. It spread to the Ethiopians. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? So now you got a pod down in Ethiopia. You got people that learned the word in Egypt because Jesus did live in Egypt for a time in northern Africa. You hear what I'm saying? This thing began to spread, and now the message of the kingdom has reached us, and here we are, 2018, on the cusp of 2019, and it's still going right now. So there is nothing that God can't reach. There is no authority that he does not have, and there's no provision that he won't make for us to be able to do what the kingdom requires. So let me tell you in advance of 2019 that God has already made provision for everything that he promised. He's made provision for your dreams. He's made provision for your journey. He's made provision for this church. He's made provision for the ministry. He's made provision for your family. He's made provision for every part of your life. It's already there. All you got to do is keep your mind fixed on the baby. Is there anybody in here that can be a living witness right now that when you keep your mind and your heart and your eyes fixed on Jesus, that he will show up for you, that he'll make a way for you, that he'll open up doors for you, that he'll make a way out of no way, that he will turn your situation around, lift up your bowed down head and give you joy in the midst of sorrow, give you hope for tomorrow? That's why I keep my eyes fixed on him. Because when I keep my eyes fixed on him, I don't have to worry, I don't have to fret, I don't have to cry, because I know he will come through.